ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम 7th canto chapter 4 text number 37 nyasta kridan akko balo jadavat tan manastaya krishna graha grihitatma na Veda Jagad Idrisham Nyasta Kridhana Kobalo Jadavat Than Manastaya Krishna Graha Grihi Tatma Na Veda Jagadis Idrisham Nyasta Kridhana Kobalo Jadavat Tan Manastaya Krishna Graha Grihitatma Na Veda Jagadishri Idrisham Ladies, please. Nyasta, having given up, Kridanaka, all sportive activities or tendencies for childhood play. Balaha, a boy, Jadavat, as if dull, without activities. Tat manastaya, by being fully absorbed in Krishna. Krishna graha, by Krishna, who is like a strong influence, like a graha or planetary influence. Grihita Atma, whose mind was fully attracted. Na, not. Veda, understood. Jagat, the entire material world. Idrisham, thank you. It's kind of dark up here, isn't it? Thank you very much. No, it's kind of bright. Where were we? We got to Idrisham, thank you. Like this. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, from the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 8:274, it is said, Stavara jangama deke na deke taramurti sarvatra hayanija ishtadevas puriti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. The Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5:38, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Shanta Sadaiva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chincha Gunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee, or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse it was stated that he had natural attachment, Naisargiki Rati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:2:42, Viraktir Anyatracha, the symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible, but Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain, a Mahabhagavata, like Prahlad Maharaj, is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. I'll read that once more, that last paragraph. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain, a Mahabhagavata, like Prahlad Maharaj, is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Om Agana Tumarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Minopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Saavadutam Prahijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sja Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvari Prishabano Sutu Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarivyascha Kripasindavevacha Patitanam Pavenipiyo Vaishnavebiyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain, a Mahabhagavata like Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. I was thinking of choice when I read that last sentence, that the choice to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna or to be absorbed in thoughts of the material world. That choice is there in front of all of us at every moment. And it never changes. That choice is always there. It is always present. Krishna says that one who returns to the spiritual world never returns to this material world. Who can think of a verse that mentions that? What is that verse? John? And translation? He never comes back to the material world. And the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, does that mean that we can never come back? And Srila Prabhupada more or less answered that if you're so foolish, that independence is always there. But those who have put their hand in fire and got burnt generally don't keep putting their hand in fire. So those living entities who have come to the material atmosphere and returned to the spiritual world, they no longer have the inclination to enter into the dream-like state of existence in the material world. And that is the amazing state that we are entered into. We are so convinced due to our conditioning and our existential situation in this world that this is life, this is who I am, this is my country, this is my world, I am a human being, I'm young, I'm old, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm so many temporary designations. But we are convinced this is us. Why? Because we have very little understanding or experience of anything beyond what we experience in this body. So it's very difficult for us to capture that we will exist in a personal form. I was speaking to my wife yesterday about this on the plane as we came here, how amazing it is that we all have skeletons, yes? And around the skeleton, the rest of us is kind of packed around and so on. But there is a form, a spiritual form that all of us possess that doesn't need to be supported by a skeleton. And that seems like, well, how will that form kind of stay together unless it's kind of got some structure to it? And in this way, we try to grapple with statements that explain that we have eternal spiritual forms, and those eternal spiritual forms interact in so many varieties of loving exchange. We think, well, if there's no kind of skin and there's no skeletal form, then maybe it'll all kind of float away. Yeah, how will the forms stay together? In this way, we are like ants trying to understand Los Angeles. If you happen to be an ant over in the corner here, trying to understand how the airport goes and planes come, it's just way beyond. I was also listening to something this morning, I think it was, that described that the light that comes from stars is so many billions and trillions of miles. Light travels, anybody know light travels at an amazing 186,000 miles per second, and some stars are light years away. The distance that light can travel in a whole year, if it travels 186,000 miles in a second, how far is that? Pretty far. We know that we do not belong to this world. We don't belong here. You're only here for 50 years, maximum, Srila Prabhupada, 100 years. So where is it that we belong? In another body? People are trying to grapple with reincarnation. Maybe there's reincarnation. Ooh, maybe we could get another body. Okay, so yes, it's good to come to that level of appreciation that maybe there's something beyond this body. Maybe there's another body. But is that where we belong, in our next body? It seems to be alien. We don't like our body to perspire. We don't like it to smell. We don't like it to get diseased and old and crippled and damaged. And why is it that we don't feel that those things are natural? Someone may say, but it is natural. I know that I have to die. I accept. I have no fear of death. Death will come, and when I have to die, that's part of life, so it's natural. So if I take out my gun right now and I point it to your head and say, you said it was natural and you'd accept it, I'm just about to blow your head off. Oh yeah, go ahead. If you're Prahlad Maharaj, possibly you wouldn't be disturbed because you understand that everything is temporary. But if we are conditioned living entities, we will be greatly alarmed. Because we won't know what our next existence is going to be. We are lacking that knowledge or that understanding. So living in the material world is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as puna punas charvata charvananam. We are engaged in the process of chewing that which has already been chewed. There's nothing new in the world. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything's the same old thing. Srila Prabhupada explained that we have three modes of material nature which are like three colors, the primary colors. If you mix them, you get 3 times 3 is 9, 9 times 9, 81, and they're endlessly mutable. But it's still the same old, same old. Three modes of material nature, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, adibhautik, adiatmik, adidaivik, adi... atmik, bhautik, daivik. Sorry? Adiyatmi. Sorry about that. Thank you. It's the same thing, just in different shades and variations and different species of life at different stages of our existence. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, what is the use of a prolonged duration of life inexperienced by so many years in this world? What is the use of prolonging our life? The whole world is wishing. If I could create, or any of us could create, a pill increased your lifespan by 25 years, I can guarantee you take these pills, you'll live 25 years longer. You become the richest man, move over, what's his name? Gates? Or, yeah. Bill, what's his name? Bill Gates? So, yeah, move over, Bill Gates. I'm the richest man in the world. If you can increase your life. But what is the use of an increase in your life? The trees are living for 5,000 years or hundreds of years, depending on whatever species of tree it is. Better a moment's full consciousness by which one can gain knowledge of Atmatattva, knowledge of the real self. Because when we gain that knowledge and understanding, we transcend this cycle, repeated birth and death and birth and death through 8,400,000 species of life. Prahlad Maharaj couldn't understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Isn't it amazing? And yet, it's not amazing. It's simultaneously, it's amazing and not really amazing. Because the power of Maya is so strong. Mamaya vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasa stani indriyani prakriti stani karshasi. The living entities in this world are my eternal fragmental small parts. And they find themselves struggling very hard with the six senses which include the mind. And those persons cannot overcome this material energy unless we surrender unto Krishna. Only when we surrender to Krishna can that happen, can we overcome. It's too difficult. It's described like someone who's trying to swim over the ocean. No matter how strong a swimmer you are, Mark Spitz, I think in the 70s, won 7 gold medals. But if you plop him into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, bye-bye, Mark. It is not possible. It's insurmountable. So the living entity in this world trying to cross over, go beyond his material situation, it's not possible. But Krishna says, those who surrender unto me, they're able to easily cross over, just like we step over the amount of water in the hoof print of a small calf. It's a small, small amount of water. So that insurmountable ocean is actually illusory and it can be reduced. The Maya Shakti potency is reduced by the mercy of Krishna. And that all of us had that experience when we joined this Krishna consciousness movement. That complete bewilderment, totally captivated and controlled by our conditioned existence. Oh, I'm a student at university. I'm working. What are you doing?
I'm a college student.
College student. I hit it right on the head and I wasn't even thinking. Krishna's not me. Sorry? Well done. So we identify in so many things and there's no way we can come out of it, but then a devotee speaks to us. And he pushes back the curtain of Maya, opens it and allows us to see, wow, you shouldn't eat meat anymore. Yes, you hear this. Before we are eating all sorts of abominable things, and then some devotee tells us, talks to us and says, did you realize there's another law in life called the law of karma? What's that? Karma means that if you cause unnecessary pain and suffering, in fact, it affects every aspect of life, but this is one specific thing. If you cause unnecessary pain to other living beings, you will get the reaction. You will have to suffer some reaction. And it makes so much sense that it pushes back. I'll share something with you. Where I was working when I first heard about Krishna consciousness in Melbourne, Australia, I was working in an experimental division, engineering division. I'm saying that because it sounds more cool. Experimental engineering. We used to crash cars into barriers for General Motors and stuff and test the effects and all that kind of stuff. Still sounds pretty cool. It wasn't that cool, really. It was just a job. But anyway, we were working there. And I heard about Krishna consciousness and became a vegetarian. And by doing that, I remember walking into the canteen for lunch place. And I'd never sort of, it didn't hit me before, but I looked up and there was 4 menu boards. It was a big place we were working in, so there was 4 lines of people. And it advertised sheep's brains in tomato sauce. And it really hit me. I thought, wow, I'd never seen that before. It was most likely there every week. But I thought, wow, how horrific is that? The tomato sauce is kind of blood, if you get it. Yeah. And I thought, geez, I'm glad I became a vegetarian. And we turn up our face and we think, oh, sheep's brain, that's horrible. But talk about any of the other body parts. People don't get it. It's all over the place. Chicken thighs, chicken nuggets, and chop this and chop that. Oh, I'm being told I'm being censored. This ain't enough. But this is the power of Maya, the power of illusion. People don't know until they get the mercy of book distributors and devotees going out into the street and chanting and distributing books, or whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna and give the opportunity for them to, like us, they are our brothers and our sisters. Yeah? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Soshiti Nakanshati Samaha Savishu Bhutishu. We have to see all the living entities as same as us. We're nothing great. We're just little jivatmas that were suffering. And they're all out there. And it's our job to connect with them and give them the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is that incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj's mercy incarnation, let's say, that was demonstrating so beautifully the Mahabhagavata, who is only thinking of Krishna, is only speaking of Krishna, is only thinking, seeing Krishna everywhere. And we are following in his footsteps. They're big, big, giant footsteps. And we are tiny, small, trying to follow in those footsteps. So it's such a privilege and such an honor to be sitting on this seat next to Srila Prabhupada in this wonderful temple, Los Angeles Temple, which was so dear to Srila Prabhupada. So many devotees have for so many years engaged in this process of spreading Krishna consciousness. It's a great privilege. So this was Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, somebody give me a time check. That's pretty good, 5 minutes, is it? It's a small clock, that one, isn't it? It's kind of small. But it's wonderful, it's a great clock. I'm the one that's getting a little older and it's harder to see, but the clock's fine. So let me read the verse once more. I haven't said very much, but you've been very patient to listen to a few words. I'll read the verse once more. Maybe there's something else. There's so many things, actually. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. So this is the reality. This is the reality. Krishna is the reality. We are not these bodies. We are eternal, dynamic, brilliant spiritual entities. We have temporarily fallen into this dark atmosphere. We struggle like anything. But we are so fortunate that the rope has been placed before us to hold on to the rope. And we can be pulled out of this material existence. How good is that? How great is that? How wonderful is that? So I'll finish there. If anyone has any questions or maybe some realizations, I've missed a million things. Yes.
I'm just wondering if we can become, expect to become like that? Is it realistic to think?
Can
that,
we become a Mahabhagavata?
Yeah, like, oh, you know, like that level of consciousness, like Prahlad Maharaj's experience, where you're basically so Krishna conscious, just so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you're practically oblivious to what's going on in the material world. He's certainly not fazed by it. I mean, is it possible for us, as just like, at least speak for myself, just an ordinary, totally conditioned soul coming from the material world, to actually ever become elevated to that level of consciousness? Or is that just something we can, you know, hear about and kind of think it's far out, but it's not really something we could experience ever?
What a wonderful question. We just have a bit of a laugh, because spiritual life is supposed to be full of joy, so we should laugh. Put your hand up. There's a question here. Can we, if we work hard, if we become humble, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, can we come to these levels of Krishna consciousness? Not that we become Prahlad Maharaj, that's not the question. The question is, can we purify ourselves to this point? Yeah. So just put your hand up if you think yes. And keep your hand down if you're not sure. And don't look at everyone else to answer the question. Okay, we've got hands up. Put your hands down. Thank you. And hands up those who think, oh, come on, you guys, you're all an illusion. Put your hand up if you think it's not really possible. Answered. Everyone had their hand up, Prabhu.
I think it's philosophically, I think it's possible. I mean, that's, you know, when you asked the question, I was thinking, well, I mean, yeah, philosophically, I think it's possible. But practically speaking, you don't see it happening very much. I mean,
wow, what a next question. That's another great question. So we've established that it is possible, everyone's convinced, but we're not seeing it happening so much. Oh. I'm looking at this very seriously over the last few months, this whole subject of becoming successful devotees. And it's a very broad subject, but I've got a sense that we overlook our own, I'm going to say it, it sounds so wrong to say, our greatness. Wow, we're supposed to be humble. We're not supposed to be great. If you think you're great, wow, you're in Maya. Devotees are supposed to be the greatest persons. They are the greatest persons. And if we want to become great devotees, we should act like great devotees, and we should realize that as real servants of Krishna, we are actually great. So we... And our business is to ignite the greatness in others, to find, we give spiritual life to people. That means we're reconnecting them to their greatness. You're not very great when you're in the material world, but when you become a devotee, you actually become great. And greatness is not arrogance. Confidence. Rupa Goswami states, Utsahan nisayadaryat, utsahan, enthusiastic, confident. Now, when he says confident, does that mean, what is that? Is that false pride he's talking about? No, it's being actually confident as a devotee. Srila Prabhupada held his head high. Wasn't it? When we see Srila Prabhupada, he's smelling a rose. I can't, look at me. Oh, what a terrible imitation. But Prabhupada smelled a rose, and we loved it. It was so beautiful to see Prabhupada smelling a rose. He was great. He was fabulous. But we think, oh, I'm small, I'm insignificant, I'm humble, and we just shrink into the corner. Real humility doesn't mean to shrink from our greatness. Real humility means to execute the order of the spiritual master and do whatever it takes to give Krishna consciousness to ourselves and to give it to others. So, it's nearly 15:15. I think I better go off quick. Prabhuji.
Thank you for a very wonderful class.
Yeah?
I'm sorry?
Thank you for a wonderful class. Oh. Just getting back to Brigapati's statement, there was one thing he said. He said, we don't see it happening. That part I question.
Ah.
When you say we don't see it happening.
You've just got to have the eyes to see it.
Exactly.
Which indicates that you've got to be great.
Because if we look at Chaitanya Leela, for instance, it's not that every one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees stood out like Haridas Thakur, but they were all great devotees. They were all Mahabhagavatas. As a matter of fact, Narottam Das Thakur says, if anyone thinks that all of the associates of Lord Chaitanya were liberated Mahabhagavatas, then he also becomes a Mahabhagavata immediately. So we have to see like that. It's not that everybody in Chaitanya Leela stood out like Haridas Thakur, but they were all great devotees.
So
similarly in our movement, you don't have to, you know, be glowing when you walk down the street or have 10,000 disciples or, you know, you have to see that somebody that has been doing service for 20 years without non-stop practically, get up, wake the deities at 3:30 in the morning and stay engaged all the way through breakfast, and that's just the beginning part of their day. And then the rest of the day, that is a pure devotee.
Yes.
That's a pure devotee. We don't understand what it means to be a pure devotee. To be totally attached to your service to the Lord, that's a pure devotee. That's what it means. So we have many, many such devotees in ISKCON. Many such devotees. Isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you so much. By your words, you've connected me to maybe three or four other things that I'd like to talk about and say. Well, the first one that came up, I pray to Krishna I can remember more than one of the three or four. But the first one was how Srila Prabhupada acknowledged one lady when she no longer turned up to bring that bucket of water from Jamuna. And they understood that she must have passed away because she did it every day without fail. And she was a Mahabhagavata in that sense. Her life was for Krishna. Yeah. At the same time, as you were speaking, I kind of picked up another possible area for contemplation. And that is that we should be enthusiastically performing our service. So sometimes I speak to myself and I speak to other devotees, and you may ask them, well, how are you? And, you're hanging in. I've been doing it for 20 years and I'm hanging in. And I'm working through that. Yes, they are performing the service. It is a great surrender. And obviously Krishna is in touch with this process. But I've got a feeling they need to jump out of the basket, so to speak. Like, who was it? Jagannath Das Babaji. I get that picture. Yes. If we have to be alive in our Krishna consciousness, we should be enthusiastic. Now, it doesn't mean, again, as you, Prabhuji, you were saying, it doesn't mean you need to have 10,000 disciples and glow as you walk down the street or whatever. Not like that. But recently I've been meditating on these points that Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. What did he say after that? And be happy. I've been chanting for a long time. And then I was recently thinking, are you happy? And so I've got a little affirmation in my life at the moment. I say, I feel happy and blessed. I feel happy and blessed. And I'm really working on that. And it's making such a difference just to get present to feeling happy. Why am I happy? Because I'm blessed. I come to Los Angeles and there's so many beautiful devotees. I get a chance to see Rukmini Dwarkadish. Last time I was here, it was 20 years ago or something like that. Brigad Paddy's here to inspire me. He invited me this morning to the, what is it called? He said, have you been, he's such a character. You know, I was thinking, he's really tuned in. He's thinking I'm on tour. We're on a few days break. So he said, have you been to the Shastra Gallery? And I thought, gee, I'm a Shastra Gallery? And I said, no, I haven't. And I think he was going to take me there today or something. He said, it's right over here. I've got three. He's got the quotes of the day up, and that's the Shastra Gallery. So please, has anybody else got any comment that they feel they'd like to make? I won't speak much more.
Yes. Prabhu, just in the question that Bhrigupati asked, and Archita also make a comment, I just wanted to extend that on a conversation that two devotees had in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, in which was praised, I think it was Haridas Thakur, saying that some devotees, they preach, but they might not behave good.
Yes.
Some devotees might behave good, but they might not preaching. So he says, but you, my dear devotee, you have both qualities, therefore you're the Jagat Guru, like the greatest ones. Lord Chaitanya Haridas Thakur. So then a thought came into my mind that it is recognized that a lot of devotees will be great in some aspects, but in another aspect they might not.
Yes.
But some of them can achieve both aspects or more qualities. So it appears that still there's something higher that you can go by that statement.
Yes, that's very beautiful. Thank you for that, Prabhu. And if you happen to be great in some area but not so great in others, focus on the great areas. Acknowledge yourself for, yes, I am getting up from all that. I am chanting 16 rounds. I am doing whatever it is in my service. And chances are you'll get better and do greater. And rather than beating yourself to bits because, oh, I'm not as good as everyone else, I'm bad, and making Krishna consciousness a struggle, sometimes we can do that. I'm not perfect yet. So we focus on all the imperfections. And guess what? The imperfections don't go away. Spiritual life's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. Guess what? Spiritual life is a real struggle. If spiritual life is full of joy and spiritual life is makes me feel blessed, I might not be arrived yet. I might not be a Mahabhagavata. But by focusing on what we are doing, then chances are we'll get better and better. Enough of this. Oh, it's Brigupati. Last comment, Brigupati Prabhu.
You're just on this point of, you know, focus. I think it's the mind tends to gravitate towards sometimes the negative stuff. You know, spiritual life is such a struggle.
Yes.
So you have to have a strategy. How are you going to, at least I do, I've come up with a strategy how to deal with that, because, you know, I don't want to be focusing all the, dwelling all the time on, boy, this is hard, boy, this is a struggle. So I've tried to find different things, statements from Prabhupada that inspire me, and it just helps me transcend that. Basically, like, that was the origin of the Shastra Gallery. I just found different things that, you know, Prabhupada said that just every time I just look at them, and I just every time I look at it, I just feel inspired. I guess
you're making a conscious choice instead of listening to the mind talking to you, so many problems, this, that, I've got to think. You're replacing that with statements that Prabhupada speaks about spiritual life.
Yeah, just trying to meditate on something Prabhupada said. And I guess I'm a perfect example of a Kali Yuga memory. I know it's not the completely most bona fide.
You could say that, or you could say you're an example of someone who's working really well to become like Prahlad Maharaj and always be thinking of Krishna. Ganesh Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai!